currents of sorrows and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For thou art Allah, the best guardian, and thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it of associating others with thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to thee, addressing myself to thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to you for the hope of your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of thy creation, the summoner to thy truth. Exalt me with thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely thou art the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. By Allah's name we start. Salam, welcome, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special. Today we're going to speak about prayer.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Today is Saturday, 28th of Ramadan, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar, 9th of Farvardin, 1404 of the Islamic Solar Hijri Calendar, 29th of March, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian Calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, verses 9 to 11 of chapter Al-Mu'minun. We're going to listen to.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون.
And they who carefully maintain their prayers.
أولئك هم الوارثون.
Those are the inheritors.
الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون.
Who will inherit Al-Firdaus. They will abide therein eternally.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The most prominent characteristic and demeanor of the believers is the first thing mentioned in the surah, their attitude to the ritual prayer. It's interesting that the primary attribute of the believers is humility in the ritual prayer, and their final attribute has been counted paying attention to their prayers. Their attributes start with the ritual prayer and end with the ritual prayer, because the ritual prayer is the most important relation between the Creator and mankind.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
What's the secret of prayer? It's a connection between each of us and the Creator. It's very obvious. This is the connection that determines our destiny, our success in this world, our well-being, both in this world and the eternal one. The break of this connection will bring chaos into society. Men will regress, commit crime, and pass the limits set by Allah. What is the connection and how to find it? The answer would be like this. It's through Salah, prescribed by the Almighty. If this connection is strong, the servant is always with his Creator. He will do well both in this world and in the hereafter, and he will rescue it from adversity and misery in this world and from the punishment of the judgment day. We must remember that the main in Salah is to perform it properly. This is what the Almighty requires of us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the importance of prayer, or salat. The importance of prayer in Islam can be examined from several aspects. It is not only recognized as the second pillar of Islam, but also a pillar of the faith. Here we are trying to mention some of the key aspects of its significance. The first important aspect of prayer is preventive measure against sin. Prayer is recognized as a factor that prevents sin and social corruption. This is Al-Quran chapter 29, verse 45. Prayer, again, is a means of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prayer is a means for direct connection with Allah and is emphasized as a crucial act of worship in Islam. Prayer is introduced as a means of salvation and assistance in difficulties. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Imam Ali alayhi salam have introduced prayer as a pillar of faith without which Islam would not stand. In hadith, it is emphasized that prayer is a condition for the acceptance of other deeds. In قُبِلَتْ قُبِلَ مَا سَوَاهَا وَإِنْ رُدَّتْ رُدَّ مَا سَوَاهَا. This is the translation of this very hadith. If prayer is accepted, other deeds will also be accepted. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has introduced prayer as a factor for preserving the Islamic faith. Moreover, prayer is also recognized as a factor that prevents polytheism. Prayer is known as a factor that prevents sin and corruption. This is a worldly and, let's say, hereafter effects of prayer, that is, prevention from sins. Another effect of prayer, another consequence, another outcome, another effect of the prayer is physical and mental health. Prayer maintains physical and mental health and prevents depression and premature aging. Again, another effect of prayer is answering prayers. Prayer is also known as a factor that facilitates the answering of prayers, that is, supplications. Again, the next effect of prayer is entry into paradise. In Hadith, it is mentioned that prayer facilitates entry into paradise. So we see in general, prayer is not only a crucial act of worship in Islam, but also a fundamental pillar for the stability of faith and salvation.
This is today's special, and we're speaking about prayer, which brings us closer to our Creator. This is our time to converse with our Creator. Most of us could talk to our friends and family in the same way. This precious time is taken out to converse with the Allah Almighty. Not only that, but we're asking Allah our wishes at the end of our prayers. Allah states, "And when my servants ask you concerning me, then surely I am near. I respond to the call of the one who pays to me, so he should respond to me and believe in me, so that he may be led on the right path." That was verse 186 of chapter 2nd of the Holy Quran. Nobody, not even our own parents, loves us more than our Lord, for he created us. Yet he only asked for around 30 minutes of our entire day. To have this connection with our Lord can only strengthen and purify our character and soul.
رمضان تجلى وابتسما طوبى للعبد إذا اغتنما فالخير وفير إن صرما ينجي المأثوم من During Ramadan, the shaitan is in chains, and Allah's mercy for a month reigns. The doors of heaven are open wide, begging for mankind to enter and abide.
Praying each salah as if it could be the final one. Yeah. Pray as though this may be your last salah. This is a strong emphasis on remembering death in Islam. Though this seems morbid if we apply this at least to our salah. No matter the situation, try and offer your salah at the desired time, or at least well within the set timings of that prayer. This allows the prayer to be performed at a more leisurely pace without rushing as time has been designated for it.
One day a man comes to Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam to consult him about a business trip. He tells the Imam, "Oh Imam, my friends are going on a business trip. Do you recommend that I go? Should I go or not? What do you advise me?" The Imam alayhi salam thinks for a moment, then he tells him, "If you want my advice, I tell you don't go. Better stay here." He says, "Okay," he thanks the Imam, he leaves. But once he goes back home, he starts to have second thoughts. you know what, maybe I should go. It seems like a very good business trip. They're about to make a bunch of good deals. You know what, let me go. So he decides to go and he ends up going. He comes back after a while. He goes and meets the Imam alayhi salam. He tells him, Imam, remember I came a while ago and I asked you, should I go on this business trip, and you told me don't go? He said, yes, I remember. He's like, well, guess what? I ended up going. And guess what? I made a lot of money. Many, many good business deals. So I'm wondering, I'm curious, why did you tell me not to go? Why? When I made so much money, I'm glad that I went. I made the right decision. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, okay, now that you've asked, I'll tell you. Remember on so-and-so night, in so-and-so village, the Imam names him that village as they were traveling. Back then when you had, when you travel, it'd probably take a month or two, you'd pass by so many villages. The Imam told him, remember when you, along with your friends, you were in that village, you stayed up late that night. He was shocked. He's like, yes, I remember. So what? What happened after that? The Imam told him, well, because you stayed up late, what happened that morning between dawn and sunrise at Fajr? What happened? He told him, I overslept and I missed the Fajr prayer. Salatul Subh, I missed it. The Imam alayhi salam told him, let's focus on the words of the Imam alayhi salam. This is a lesson for us. The Imam alayhi salam told him, look, what you missed out on because you missed one single prayer is far more than the money that you gained in that business trip. Yes, you made a lot of money. And I knew you'd make a lot of money. It was obvious you'd make a lot of money. But what you missed out on, what you lost, the spiritual, the psychological rewards of prayer, even the worldly benefits of prayer, what you lost by not praying that morning was far more than all that money that you gained.
Dear brother and sister, thank you for listening to this episode, and inshallah we continue. So we leave you in Allah's care and blessings, and fi amanillah.
يا نور الهلال أقبل تعال فالشوق طال والقلب سما نحو السماء مترنما لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible? lessons of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
کتاب الله. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear listeners, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Today we'll dive into a profound teaching of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his holy progeny, shared with his companion Jabir ibn Abdullah. In this teaching, the Prophet outlines the true essence of fasting during the month of Ramadan, offering us guidance on how to purify our souls through this sacred month. So, in a beautiful narration from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, we learn that Prophet Muhammad told Jabir ibn Abdullah, O Jabir, this is the month of Ramadan. Whoever fasts during the day, prays a portion of the night, keeps their stomach and private parts from free from sin, and controls their tongue, will emerge from Ramadan just as they did when they entered this world, free from sin. How beautiful. This narration highlights the spiritual depth of Ramadan. Fasting isn't simply about abstaining from things, from like objects like food and drink. It's about guarding all aspects of our behavior, our actions, our speech, and our intentions. The Prophet emphasizes that true fasting purifies us from sins and brings us closer to Allah. So Jabir ibn Abdullah, in awe of this beautiful teaching, responded, O Messenger of Allah, how beautiful this saying is. And Prophet Muhammad replied, O Jabir, how difficult these conditions are. He said, how beautiful. And the Holy Prophet said, how difficult, you know, actually emphasizing and reminding us that, you know, we have to decide for change. We have to, you know, take that plunge and, you know, do what we can. Indeed, fasting in its truest sense is not just physical abstention. It requires spiritual discipline, keeping our hearts pure, controlling our desires, and avoiding sinful behavior. There are challenging tasks, and the Holy Prophet reminds us that while their words of fasting are immense, the conditions we must uphold are also significant. This requires conscious effort and dedication, especially when it comes to controlling the tongue, the eyes, and the desires of the body. So, during the day, beyond abstaining from food and drink, we should strive to maintain purity in our hearts and minds. At night, let's dedicate time for prayer and remembrance of Allah, ensuring that our actions align with the higher purpose of fasting. In our speech, in another critical area, we must avoid gossip, harmful language, and anything that would, you know, diminish the value of our fast. And finally, we must protect our bodies from sinful actions and desires, ensuring that our fast becomes a means of spiritual growth, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abu al-Ainain Shu'aisha, an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1922. He learned Quran recitation at the age of 7, and its first teacher was his father, Ahmad Shu'aisha. This prominent master of Quran recitation, who followed the style of Sheikh Muhammad Rifat, entered Egyptian radio at the age of 17, and at that moment, he was the youngest Quran reciter on the radio. He had a warm voice and precisely pronounced each and every word and letter. Sheikh Abu al-Ainain Shu'aisha traveled to many Muslim and non-Muslim countries, including France, England, Turkey, Jordan, Syria, Kuwait, and of course Islamic Republic of Iran. He was the chairman of the jury panel in Islamic Republic of Iran's 15th International Quran Competition in 1998. He believed that Iranian reciters ranked second after Egyptians and that these two countries have the most number of reciters in Muslim world. He passed away in 2011 at the age of 89. May Allah bless him. Now let's listen to Sheikh Abu al-Ainain Shu'aisha reciting Surah An-Najm verses 42 to 52, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, and that to your Lord is the end, and that it is He who makes to laugh and makes to weep, and that it is He who causes death and gives life, and that He creates the pairs, male and female, from drops of discharge when it is emitted, and that upon Him is another bringing forth, and that it is He who gives much or a little, and that He is the Lord of Sirius, and that it is He who destroyed the former people of Ad, and Thamud, He spared none of them, and the people of Noah aforetime. Verily, they were more unjust and more rebellious and transgressing.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 42 to 52 of Surah An-Najm, recited by Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Shu'aisha, like we've said before, is one of those reciters who has only recited in Hafs an Asim.
Mm-hmm.
He has never recited in any other riwayah. Okay?
Yes.
And there are some other reciters like him, such as Mahmoud Ramadan, Muhammad Imran, Sayyid Muhammad Naqshbandi, and some other reciters who only recite in Hafs. And so we don't have to worry about the other riwayat for today's program. Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha has a very good voice, even though it seems that he's exerting a lot of pressure on his voice. It's still very beautiful. I mean, he has qarar, okay, the low register. He has jawab, the middle register.
And jawab.
And also jawab ul-jawab. And we heard all of these registers in today's recitation.
That is the highest register, actually.
Yes, and the jawab ul-jawab was in verse 47 on the word al-ukhra. He raised his voice to the jawab ul-jawab. وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. Now let's talk about the tajweed. وَأَنَّ, we have a noon with tashdeed. We have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. Nasalization of the noon for two vowel counts. By two vowel counts, we mean the duration of the ghunna should be as long as two vowel counts, like a mad.
Yes.
وَأَنَّ.
A normal mad.
A normal, yeah, madu tabi'i. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. We have ikhfa of nun sakina in this word. مُنْتَهَىٰ. We have to approximate the place of articulation of ta. You have to make the head of the tongue really close to the gum line behind the upper front teeth without making it touch it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you make a nasal sound for two vowel counts.
And can I make a point here?
Go ahead.
That is actually here. This word shows that ikhfa can take place within a word, unlike
idgham. Yes, that's right. In fact, idgham is the only rule of nun sakina that can't take place
within a word.
It can only take place within a phrase.
That's right.
But the other rules of nun sakina, they can take place in both a phrase or a word. وَأَنَّهُ. We have another noon with tashdeed. You have to read all of these noons with tashdeed with ghunna,
yes,
for two vowel counts. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ. The dad has it has the characteristic of isti'la and itbaq, mm-hmm, which means you have to pronounce it with tafkhim.
Yes.
With pharyngealization and velarization.
We have to raise the tongue.
Yeah, the root of the tongue should be raised.
And
also
body,
the back of the tongue, yes. وَأَنَّهُ. See, all of these are غُنَّةs. We have, at the beginning of each of these verses, وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ وَأَنَّهُ خَلَغَ. So you have to be careful that you don't miss applying the غُنَّةs for these words.
Nasalization for two counts.
Yeah. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. All of the letters here are letters of istifal. You have to pronounce all of them with tarqiq.
أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى.
One of the keys of the Arabic accent and fisaha is observing the rule of tafkhim and tarqiq. Mm-hmm. If you do this, you have in fact been able to recite the Quran. It's one third of the Arabic accent is the tafkhim and tarqiq.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we could say it like this. And so you have to be really careful that whenever there is a tafkhim, you don't pronounce it with tarqiq,
mm-hmm,
and vice versa.
If you master this skill
actually you have one third of fasaha.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, وَأَنَّهُ خَلَقَ. This is one example of تَفْخِيم and تَرْقِيق in one word. خَلَقَ.
خَلَقَ.
Exactly. Only the lam has تَرْقِيق. خَا and قَا, they have تَفْخِيم.
And I think the thing that helps us to pronounce this is the lips, the shape of the lips.
That's right. And also the root of the tongue.
خَلَقَ.
خَلَقَ. خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ. ذَال is, let's talk about the place of articulation of ذَال. ذَال, we use the tip of the tongue, the edge of the front teeth, and the head of the tongue, and the gum line behind the upper front teeth.
It's somehow close to the voiced TH sound.
Yeah, somewhat close to it.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن. The Ocean of Dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you in this edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition, we will inshallah talk about the dua, the reality of supplication, its categories, and we will describe some of its effects, so stay with us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa al'an alahum ajma'in. Dear listeners, we were talking about the first constituent of supplication, which was the spiritual attraction, which was one of the most significant assets that God has bestowed upon His servants, and it was the spiritual attraction. We talked about different traditions which this very attraction is emphasized in those traditions, where we read that الدُّعَاءُ سَلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, supplication is the believer's weapon, and مَنْ أَعْتَ الدُّعَاءَ أَعْتَ الْإِجَابَةَ, the one who has given you supplication will respond to it. But we had the question that sometimes supplications are not being responded to, and we're going to get to that question later on. But for the previous program, we talked about this very situation when it happens to a man that in difficult times of his life, in difficult hardships during his life, he does everything and resorts to any means, but he forgets supplication. And of course, it is the only way of salvage supplication. But after suffering a lot of hardships and realizing that no one is able to help him, then he resorts to supplication. We told you, dear listeners, that this, of course, is reckoned as a success. But, dear listeners, this is one of the most important parts of this discussion. And it is this, that the real success is obtained when we resort to supplication at the initial stages of coming across the impassable hurdles, so that God may open up His doors of blessings and abundance before we get despair. So, if we resort to supplication at the very beginning stages of coming across with impassable hurdles, but let me tell you something more than this. If someone always resorts to supplication, even before facing a difficult situation, this is the true meaning of success.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalal wal-ikram, wal-fadl wal-in'am, alladhi ba'uda fala yura, wa qaruba fashahida an-najwa.
Concerning this issue, reports from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Sheikh Al-Kulayni says, هل تعرفون طول البلاء من قصاره? Do you recognize a long or a short duration of a calamity? قلنا لا. We said no. قال إذا ألهم أحدكم الدعاء عند البلاء فاعلموا أن البلاء قصير. He said, if at the time of disaster it is inspired to one of you to engage in supplication, to practice supplication, you should realize that the disaster will last short. So when a calamity befalls a faithful servant and Allah inspires him to engage in supplication, that calamity, of course, by what has been said in our traditions, will soon disappear. But if one refrains from supplication when he is afflicted with a calamity, the calamity will last longer. So when there is a disaster, we should keep on calling for the Almighty Allah and invoking Allah. So our duty must be for all the time just to practice supplication and dua. Because Hafiz, the Iranian poet, says, Hafiz, it is your duty to engage in supplication, and you should not worry if it is heard or not. So if we think about the issue of supplication carefully, we will understand that the supplication is itself, in its true nature, in its innate nature, a kind of acceptance.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. تا بجوشد آب از بالا و پست. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God and the mercy will God will come towards you.
If we think about the issue of supplication, if we think about it deeply in our hearts and minds, we will understand that supplication is a kind of acceptance. Supplication equals to acceptance. But how is that even possible? Because we told you, dear listeners, that sometimes it may happen that a supplication would not be responded to, but of course, it is a success even if you do not get the answer in response if you practice supplication. It is a success. But how? This is the question that should remain to be answered for the other program. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
اون چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می‌کند.
Be aware. The hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and what we do in this program is to listen to certain viewpoints of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, who was the great founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and then try to shed light and explain some precious points in their view. Well, on the subject of independence of the country, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, a nation that gives lives to earn freedom and independence will tolerate patience, resistance, and pain in order to keep and protect them.
Ya
You know, this part of Imam's speech revolves around the love of Iranian people for independence and freedom. The leader of contemporary Muslim world termed freedom not as a motto and political tool, but as a basic human right. According to Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, it is man's basic right to be free, and it is immaterial whether the freedom has anything to do with others, for example, civil and social freedom or individual freedom, which includes freedom of belief, freedom of expression, freedom of thought, freedom of parties, and freedom of press. You know, in fact, it is clear that these freedoms will not be unlimited and unconstrained. According to Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, these freedoms are limited at the point where they harm the interests of the country. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh can see that religious and country rules, which are derived from Islam, as the border of freedom, and was saying that there was a border between freedom and conspiracy in the world and in all countries. On the same pattern, the freedom was also one of the main mottos of the Islamic revolution. Independence in all areas, abstain of affiliation, negation of aliens' intervention, and severance of strangers' influence, and not being under other supervision, are definitions which Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh gives to independence. And today, the global message of Islamic revolution, with emphasis on faith and freedom, is inspiring people in the region after negating the deviated doctrines of liberalism and socialism. Political analysts in the West are beginning to admit these facts, and that is what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh taught us about independence and freedom, and we are supposed to play a role in protecting and keeping these invaluable and precious concepts in our country alive. May Allah bless the soul of this great man.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say.
There was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.
Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
South Africa's iconic freedom fighter and first democratically elected leader Nelson Mandela once remarked, "We know too well that our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians." So how can the International Quds Day be utilized as a strategic platform to further Mandela's vision of a free Palestine and work towards realizing his dream? And to discuss the International Quds Day and Africa's support for the liberation of Palestine, we are joined by Dr. Feroz Osman. He is the executive member of Media Review Network. We are also joined by Hassan Loggett. He is the co-founder of Media Justice Africa. The International Quds Day is observed